Hey team, Zach here, just dropping in before today's pod. This week, myself and Cam had the pleasure of hosting Tommy Ellard, the punter from the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. We chat about all his experiences from growing up, being very AFL focused and playing in high sorts of levels with the VFL and NEAFL, then about his transition into punting through the Pro Kick Academy, and now his move to America. It's a great insight about the transition from that mature age athlete that's previously gone through another system, then going over to that student athlete life in college. So look, wrap your ears around this one and let's get stuck into it, baby.
Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time.
All right, well, thanks for coming to another episode of The Gridiron Guys, everyone. I'm Zach with Cam, as always, and this week we have another special guest. We have Tom Ellard. He's the punter for the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. He's a Pro Kick alum, an ex-VFL and NEAFL player. Tom, how's things going with you, and how's life over in the States at the moment?
Yeah, it took me a while to sort of settle in over here. I think the first day that I sort of rocked up, it was minus 11 degrees and snowing, so I sort of thought to myself, what have I gotten into? But I think all the guys over here have been amazing, and the coaching staff's just been incredible. They've helped me settle in a lot. And it's sort of being a bit older and going through a professional system, I sort of picked up a lot of things real quick over here. So, but yeah, spring ball was a bit of a new experience for me. So that was pretty exciting times for myself. And apart from that, I think we're sort of tracking all right over here. We've got the right facilities and the right infrastructure from the coaches. So I think I've been pretty good and sort of suited that sort of lifestyle as well, going back into being an athlete and just sort of getting my head around it all again.
Yeah, pretty exciting times looking ahead for the season, I suppose. Look, do you want to take us back to a young time? You know, where did all the sports journey start? For yourself, was it all just AFL as a kid, or did you always have sort of an interest in American football and those sorts of things?
Yeah, so I've sort of always we've sort of grown up into the football world. So I was actually lucky enough to be sort of introduced into AFL by my uncle. He captained the Eagles back in, I don't know. Couldn't tell you when. So he sort of taught me as a young fella all about the football world. And I was pretty grateful that I sort of got brought into that world. And I've always wanted to be an AFL player. And it's sort of watching my cousins sort of grow up and play in the AFL environment as well was pretty big for me. So I sort of just wanted to track along to that. And I sort of hit my peak when, you know, I came to realisation after NEAFL, I played for Southport and we sort of won the grand final for Southport. And then I sort of stood back and evaluated everything and just, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my mum actually, she pestered me as like, ever since I was probably about 16 years old, you know, you could be an NFL punter. And I'm going, yeah, righto, mum, you know, all stress, righto. And then, you know, once it sort of finished up, mum goes, you know, you should really do it. And I was like, nah, look, I just want to take some time away from sport at the moment. You know, my mental side of things is a bit more important, and I just want to, you know, get back on track on life away from sport, really. And I sort of played a year of footy in the country just for a bit of fun, and it was enjoyable. I got to play with some of my best mates I played VFL with, and then at the end of the year, COVID hit, and I'm like, you know what, stuff it. I'll sort of contact Pro Kick Australia, and I got in contact with Chappie, and I think I had one session before he said, yeah, look, mate, you're in the academy. So, but NFL's never really, like, I go for Cowboys and Dad goes for Raiders, and that's sort of a pretty big battle in the household every time we sort of sit and watch the games, and Dad always tells me that we're chokers, and every single year we're never going to win one. And the way the Cowboys went last year, I can't really say too much. So, but nah, football, AFL has been my life. So this is sort of all a new environment for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're talking about NEAFL and VFL, going through the juniors. Are you from Perth or are you from Melbourne? Or did you go between the two?
Yeah, so I was born in Melbourne. I was born in Mount Macedon. And then I moved to West Australia when I was maybe just under one. And I grew up in West Australia for 16 years. So we, footy back there, that's pretty much all you got. So we had private school boys footy, Guildford Grammar. And, I just played that. I played waffle for Swan Districts through the under-16s and then through the Colts. I think I moved over to Melbourne when just as I turned 16. And I tried to go through, the Calder Cannons TAC thing, but I didn't really see a good opportunity there. So I just went straight into the VFL system. I think I was 17. I went through my first VFL club, Northern Bull Ants at the time. So, that was sort of where I was at growing up in WA. It was pretty good fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, you talked about that journey. You went from VFL to Southport. What was it like for you, I guess, moving around the country, going to different setups and playing all over the country? Like, was that a good experience for you, you thought?
Yeah. It was, Southport had been in contact for probably 3 years. So I went Coburg for two, Richmond. Where'd I go? Coburg for two, Richmond at one, and then Werribee for two. And they contacted me in my first year after Werribee, and I was still trying to figure out what I was doing in Melbourne, let alone moving to another state. And it just got to the point where I was like, stuff this. I need a new change. So I packed up and left. And the phone call with mum and dad was pretty interesting because mum wasn't too happy about it. But it was hard. I think the adjustment to play in the NEFL was a lot harder than the VFL just because you got to travel every weekend and you got to play. We played at SCG. We played in Northern Territory. Brisbane was shocking weather when we played there. But now I think, I don't even know. One of the boys was saying that the VFL has joined with the NEFL now. So lucky I got out in the right time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have joined up. I suppose we're both from Canberra, so you probably would have had a nice fun culture.
Yeah. Our first game was against Canberra actually. And we ended up 80 points. Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. I mean, talking about that Southport flag, we both sort of, as you said, in Canberra, we've played a bit of AFL ourselves and known about the NEFL. We do know that Southport flag was there's a little bit of an asterisk on that one. Did you have anything to do with that 19th man on the field, or were you involved in that?
So I actually, I got a bit unlucky actually. So we got to the prelim and we beat Aspley in the prelim. And in the first 30 seconds of the game, I had the big full forward land on my leg and bust my leg. So I end up training. He sprained it and bruised and swollen and all sorts, and I ended up training on the Thursday and I was good, all clear, and then I woke up Friday morning, it just ballooned out, so I had to pull myself out of the grand final, unfortunately. But my best mate was the 19th man on the field, so yeah. We were sitting at the bar having drinks afterwards, and I'm like, you could have lost it for us. I think it was just a miscommunication, and like the game had stopped, and what had sort of happened was the umpires went up to Sydney Swans and was like the scores 0-0. Everything's been wiped. You've got one quarter footy, whoever scores the highest, and Sydney beat us in the last quarter. So, after the game, no one celebrated. We didn't know what to do. And then the officials came on and were like, no, because no points were scored in between the time he was on the field, and there's no change then. We beat him by like 90 same points. So it wouldn't have made much of a difference, I guess, but... Yeah, Sydney weren't too happy about it, but stuff them. They got to lose once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. We're not big fans of Swans Reserves here either. I had a quick look, and that's what I saw you were playing down at Myrtleford, and then you looked on taking on coaching for one of the women's teams before you sort of got this call up for the US. Like, what was you interested in coaching as well?
Yeah, so, I had a lot of time on my hands, obviously, with training with ProKick, and I sort of spoke to the North Sunshine girls, and I spoke to the coach down there and I told him my situation and whatnot. And I said, I've got a lot of football knowledge. I've had 8 years in a system where, I'm happy to help out. And they took me on board and I did as much as I could for the girls. And then I was meant to leave in June, and I didn't end up leaving in June. I left in December. So I ended up pulling away from it just towards the season, but COVID sort of got involved anyway. So, but it's just more the same to do. Like I was sitting at home 90% of the time. You can only train so much. So
yeah, for sure.
But that was a good experience. I've never been involved in women's footy, and it was it was very interesting. I think they go a lot harder at the ball than what most guys do. It's sort of scary.
100%.
It's full on.
Yeah, it's a really growing movement, isn't it, these days? And all the opportunities for the girls is pretty good to see. Looking into your early pro kick days, how did you find that transition to punting? You know, what was the setup like? I know we've talked to Chappie and talked to a couple other guys that have been involved, and it does seem like that pro kick sort of area where everyone's trying to get those scholarships can be a place where it's competitive for spots and it can be fairly ego-driven. But it looks like, you know, what Chappie and Johnny do down there, they bring a lot of really good team dynamic and a lot of unity in that sort of area. So it's not obviously not going out and playing games every weekend, but it does feel like it, and it looks like it's got that really team vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I think Chappie and Johnny have done an amazing job at pro kick. They the way they've structured it and the way that they've handled themselves as well, like with coaches from America, you know, it's not an easy thing to try to communicate with an American coach at 4 o'clock Australian time to 7 o'clock in the morning American time. So Johnny works his ringer off big time. We call him Baron, but he doesn't sleep. He seriously, I don't know how his wife deals with it, but he would probably have an hour's sleep at midnight and then he'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But he's like he sort of treats every day like it's Christmas. Like when I was talking to WKU, he was calling me at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm going, mate, I'm trying to sleep. you can't wait till seven. but they've done a really good job, and they've got they actually brought Tim Gleason on board. So Tim used to punt for Rutgers and Wyoming back in the day, and he's an amazing coach too. I think those three are taking pro kick to the next level. You know, obviously everyone in Australia's seen what you can do when you get a scholarship, and you know, it's a novelty, you go and get a scholarship in America and rah rah rah. But I think the process that they're running at the moment is amazing. There, you know, you really do have to earn it. You got to rock up to training sessions, and you know, if you're not kicking well, you're not going to get a scholarship. So I think Pro Kick Australia, and I can't speak more highly of what Johnny and Chappie and Gleeso have done for me personally, but just overall, I think that academy has taken some pretty big leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I think it's pretty impressive, and we've just had resounding like feedback from those guys. And when we spoke to Chappie, like, you can just tell how passionate they are about it.
Yeah.
I suppose for you, like, you came in, I suppose you're a little bit older than some of the other blokes, and then obviously all the guys in your team. Do you reckon if you started probably around the younger age, how do you reckon you would have dealt with it? Or are you happier that you sort of went to this path a little bit further down the track, more mature?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't. It's sort of a hard one. I guess when you're 18, 19, you sort of got that ego that, you know, I've got a scholarship, I'm a big fish in a little pond type situation. And I think that gets caught up over here with a lot of those young kids. They expect that, you know, it's all going to be daisies and sunshine. It's going to be the easiest thing ever because you're Australian and, you know, you've already got your scholarship, and it's not. And, you know, I think with me having the mature head that I sort of have, which I hope I still have, I think that helps a lot. Like I'm pretty grounded on my own 2 feet, and you know, I can handle situations that the coaches are throwing at me, and you know, they'll throw me in a, you know, in a 4-3 rush at the moment, and you know, you gotta sort of get rid of the ball as quick as you can. Whereas, you know, you don't, I guess a lot of those young kids just sort of see what they see on TV and go, you know, I can be like, I can do that. Yeah. But in reality, you've got 300-pound of male running at you that wants to take your head off and block you. So I think me being a bit older, I can sort of go through that pressure on the field, and you know, playing football in front of a lot of people too, I guess I can sort of get used to the crowds as well. But if I was 18, 19, I couldn't see myself excelling at this. Like, personally, I don't think I would excel, but I wouldn't understand what I'm doing, I guess is a good way of putting it.
100%.
Just because, as I said, you're 18, 19, you just want to, you know, we're all that age, you just want to go out and play. You don't really think about what you're actually doing. So,
yeah, for sure.
I think being old has helped me a fair bit. You know, I get, you know, the boys take the mickey out of me about it all the time, and call me the old man around the facility. And when I tell the new recruits how old I am, they sit there and stare at me for about a minute. But it's not a bad thing, I guess.
Expanding on that a little bit, you know, coming in as that mature age student, had you done any study previously, or was there anything you had to transition you know, to go back into studies? Because I suppose there is the other side of it. You are a student athlete, aren't you?
Yeah. It was sort of, mine was actually really hard because I didn't finish year 11 and 12. I went through a college called Cedar. So it took Johnny again. Can't thank Johnny enough for this, but it took Johnny and I ages and ages and ages to just get all my schoolwork together. And and I had to do a couple of uni subjects just to send the grades over to him as well. So I end up doing that and sending it all over to him just because they sort of needed it to accept me into the scholarship. So that was a pretty big thing, but I haven't touched a pen and paper since I was 18. So I think my father just completed my first semester. And I remember sitting in class and I'm like, what the hell have I got myself into? But once I sort of got used to it again, it wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. I had a pretty good first semester. So it's just getting my head around going back to school again, I guess.
Yeah. What are you studying, by the way?
So I'm doing exercise and kinesiology. So once I finish that degree, I sort of want to work with like the rehab side of things and disability as well. Just to sort of, rehab injuries and look around that sort of stuff.
Perfect. That's unreal. I suppose, when people see the pro kick and they see all the posts they put out and they say, oh, these guys got a scholarship, this is all like rainbows and lollipops. Like, yeah, you're right. Like the other side of it you don't see is the study side of it.
Yeah.
But I suppose going through pro kick, you went through it through in COVID. Like, what was that like for you?
To say it was interesting is probably an understatement because you can only kick a ball so many times by yourself. I thought I was losing my mind at some stages. And we were only allowed at the start, you're only allowed like half an hour's worth of exercise. So I remember one day I was kicking by myself and I had a police officer sitting in his car staring at me, timing me. And he came up and goes like, righto, you got to head home. And I'm like, mate, you kidding me? No one's here. No one's around me. But that was pretty hard because you had to, everything was over Zoom. So again, Chappie and Johnny handled it well. And we had to send film to him every day and we had to correct him every day. And on a personal level, I think that's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me because I learned a lot just doing it by myself. And, even though it was just film, they corrected me every single day. And my improvement from start of COVID to the end of COVID to when we went back to training was massive. Like I reckon that probably helped me out with getting a scholarship, just learning stuff by myself. So it was hard, but again, the age is probably better than the younger kids, and I learned just to do stuff by myself. So
yeah, that certainly sounds like it put the onus back on you to really almost look at those videos and critique yourself a lot and make sure your technique was up to scratch and things like that. Looking at that offer from Western Kentucky, was there any other offers that came sort of through or any other schools that you were thinking about, or what made Western Kentucky stand ahead above the rest, I suppose?
I guess, so they were my first offer. I didn't even think twice about it. Johnny called me when I was playing golf and you could check out the school, and I looked at it and said, yeah, mate, all good. Let's get it sorted. So it was a week process. And then we sort of went through a lot with obviously the coaches and WKU, and the process sort of went pretty quick actually. But I grew up like in the hills in West Australia. So sort of a bit of a bush area. So like a small little town like this is sort of good for me. I sort of feel more comfortable in this sort of environment. Their facilities are pretty unreal here too. Just for not for like, they're not a big school, but for the school that they are, they've got some unreal facilities here. So I really enjoyed it. I think they sold it pretty well to me as well. And they were trying to, I think the coaches, he found out that I dealt with reptiles. So he's like, yeah, I've got some snakes out the back you can play with, and just to try to get me to commit. And I'm like, mate, sold, let's go.
Yeah, easy done. Like, what's it, I guess, for you turning up to Bowling Green, Kentucky? Like, is it just a one college town? Like, is it just based around the college? Because I know I went on exchange, went to Knoxville, and it's just like no other experience. University of Tennessee, it is built all around the college. The life is, everyone in the town is just supported by the college. Like, is it the same there?
Yeah, it's big in Bowling Green, but it's not, you don't really walk anywhere. They got football posters everywhere of your face and all that sort of stuff. I think everyone, like come game day, everyone sort of gets around the toppers. It's not a massive, massive sort of everyone's involved type situation. I guess Bowling Green's pretty well known for their food, their restaurants. Yeah, okay. So I think Bowling Green's number one in America for food and restaurants, actually. I think we beat Vegas, so I'm saying the other day in the facilities. So I think that's what Bowling Green's pretty well known for. That's always a good thing for me, which is, yeah, it's a nice thing.
Yeah, that's a perfect if you're rolling that in. Yeah, I suppose looking at a bit more football stuff, that transition, how's the preseason and spring game sort of looking, and how's your outlook for the season ahead going?
Yeah, so the spring game was pretty interesting. We had some people, like we had a fair bit of crowd there actually watching. And we sort of didn't want to give away too much of our like formation stuff like that. So we just did what we had to do, and it was just me and the snapper out in the field. We didn't have shield, didn't have anything. So that was a bit of a weird feeling because I was prepared for someone to run at me and no one was there. But no, it was good. We had three punters. It was me and another dude called Wes Paul. And we just rotated. I only ended up having two punts for the day. I think the first one I smoked pretty, I think I hit the first one real well. And then the second one was a miss hit, but it wasn't too bad. But it was a pretty cool feeling. And I think like going into the season, we're pretty comfortable at the moment on where we're at as a team and as a side. And I think we're going to push for the top this year, which you know, we should. We got the right sort of people around us to do so. So that'll be good. I think we're in for a pretty exciting year at WKU. So I can't wait for the season to start.
Yeah, because you guys, I mean, we watched a bit of yous last year because Bailey Zapp, I don't know, you might know him pretty well already, but yeah. Like we watched a fair bit of him trying to break those records and the boys look good. So have you, like the quarterback to replace, has he sort of been in and about there?
Yeah, so old Daigie from West Virginia, he's a pretty smart quarterback. He's going to be really good for us. But we got a kid from West Florida called Austin. And if you look at him from behind, it's like a Bailey Zappi 2.0. He's got the thickest legs and the biggest punt I've ever seen. But he can throw too. So I think we got probably four or five quarterbacks on the list at the moment, I think. And they're all pretty good. So I think as Zappi, like not like I wish I could say someone's going to do what Zappi did last season, but he is unreal. And I hope he listens to his podcast, but he's one in a million, that kid. And I don't think anyone will be able to replace that. But saying that, Davey and Austin, the quarterbacks that they're running with at the moment are very, very good. So I think they're going to do really well this year.
Setting you up for some good opposition, I suppose. You do look ahead at your schedule. You've got some big future opponents and you're always potentially taking on plenty of ProKick alumni. There's plenty of those boys floating around. Have you got any teams that you've penciled in, you know, that you're sort of looking forward to on the calendar?
Yeah, well, I think I play pretty much every team this year we play as a ProKick boy. So we got the two big ones we got this year is Indiana and Auburn in Auburn. Mm-hmm. So we play against Oscar Chapman. Oscar Chapman and I don't know who's at Indiana. One of the boys at Indiana, which would be interesting. But I can't wait. The years after, we got Alabama and then Ohio State. So I get to play against Jesse Merko and Jimmy Burnett. But I think most games this year, we got a pro kick dude. I think the only ones we don't have is UAB and Charlotte, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I can't wait to play against a few of the boys. And hopefully we walk away with the win and I can tell them how bad they are at the end of it. But it'll be exciting.
Very good. So I guess like obviously you're just starting your first season here, but thinking ahead, like long-term goals, aspirations, NFL, like obviously that's the goal for everyone going over there. What is, as well as study goals, I suppose, at the same time, what are your sort of progressions and goals you're setting for yourself?
Yeah, I think my studies are a big one for me. I want to walk away with my degree. I think that's what I took for granted when I was a bit younger. I didn't, you know, I was so mindset on AFL that I just put my schooling aside and I regret that a little bit that I didn't sort of focus too much on my schooling back then. But saying that, if I had done my school back then, I wouldn't be in this position now. So I think school is going to be a big one for me. I just want my degree because that way I got a backup plan if, you know, if I don't go further with my football. But, you know, as you said, everyone's aspiration, puppy, yeah, everyone's aspirations obviously to make it to the next level. So I sort of got that mindset and always, you know, I always talk to my dad back home and I just want to take it a year at a time and sort of reevaluate and reassess at the end of the year and where I'm at and sort of take them there. You know, as I said, if you're an 18-year-old kid and you're at a college and you're going, you know, I'm going to be the next NFL punter, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, I'm going to be like, you just got to be realistic, I guess, in a way. So 1 year at a time for me. And I think we'll evaluate where I'm at. And if I'm punting well, then, you know, obviously NFL's on the cards. A lot of us are going through the CFL at the moment. So obviously CFL will be on the cards as well. My big boy Hags, who I'm taking over at the moment, he's at Toronto in the CFL at the moment. And, you know, I think that's going to be a stepping stone for him to get into the NFL. So I think he had 9 punts in his first game with a 52-yard average. So, you know, if that sort of stuff arises, then it will arise. But, yeah, just 1 year at a time for me, I guess, and I just want to focus on my school. That's the main thing for me.
Yeah, that's good. Perfect. What you want to hear. I suppose long-term as well, hopefully there's some more options opening up towards the NFL. You know, we see like the USFL, potentially whether that gets taken a bit more seriously. And if anyone tries to resurrect the XFL like they do every couple of years, that's always an option sometimes. Yeah. But, no, as you said, you've got a long couple of years, so plenty of time to work on your craft and look forward ahead. So, look, we really hope your journey goes well, and we can't wait to watch you just kill it over there. It's really, as you said, it shows a lot about Pro Kick, about how many guys are over there and how many guys are punting. But, you know, for yourself, it's just sort of the start, and you're there to make your own sort of way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, as I was saying earlier on, I think just the sort of people that you have around you want to sort of make you improve in a way. And like Coach Helton, Coach LaRussa, Coach Sweatman, Coach Pulford, the dudes that we got over here they've just been awesome. And, you know, every single day we improve, and it's just got that mindset now where, you know, even today I'm sitting there watching film, just making sure that it's all sort of down packed. And it's just that, like, It's a weird feeling coming into a college system, coming out of an AFL environment, because, you know, instead of having 30 dudes on a list with 6 coaches, you've now got 120 dudes trying to fight for, you know, certain spots on the list with probably 40 coaches, and you've got to try and remember everyone's name. And yeah. WKU, the way that it's been handled so far, everyone's a pretty tight-knit family at WKU, and Coach Helton's massive on that sort of stuff. And I think it's just an incredible experience. Like, as you said, I'm nearly 28 this year in October. Unfortunately, we're all getting old, but, like, I no one can say that we, you know, you barely hear people come home and go, you know, I've played college football. And I think a lot, like, for junior kids that sort of think about this sort of stuff, you know, take that leap, I guess, because you're never going to regret it. I don't regret it. I know Mum hates me being over in America on a 30-hour flight. She wished she could be here, but, yeah, they're always a phone call away. And they get, like, my mum and dad are pretty happy with the way that it's been handled. And I know that they're all proud back home and all that sort of stuff. So I think just for the younger kids, sort of, if they listen to this, just take that leap, I guess, into the unknown. Like, you don't know what's going to be ahead of you, but it's always going to pay off in the long run. So, yeah, it's a great experience.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've summed that up perfectly. I think looking at Pro Kick, there's probably people looking at it going, geez, I don't know if I should do that. Like, it seems like a world away. But as you said, like, unless you take the punt on it, for lack of a better term, it's just such a good experience for them. But as the football aside, you were mentioning before, snakes is a big, big sort of thing for you.
Yeah, so So I'm a bit of a weird one. So I actually am a qualified reptile zoologist. So I used to deal with highly venomous snakes and crocodiles, and I had the top 20 most venomous snakes at one stage. Mum didn't like that too much. But, yeah, I just sort of had an interest as a kid. I remember Mum got a phone call. I think I was in like year 6 or 7, and the principal called Mum. And it was like, yeah, son's got an in-school suspension. And she's, well, what's happened? And we're walking on a bush track, and I end up picking up at a dugite, which is like the number 3 most venomous snake in the world. I end up picking it up and like moving off the path. And the teacher stood there and was like, go see the principal. What are you doing? So ever since then, I sort of had that aspiration. I still do. If this doesn't work out, I'll probably end up slowly, like, venturing way back to being a reptile again, working with reptiles. But yeah, I just enjoy it. I reckon it's more the adrenaline of if you get bitten and you got some crocodile in the back of your yard trying to fight you, it's always good fun.
spend some time down in Florida, check out the Gators and all that sort of
thing. Yeah, I can't wait. I haven't seen anyone yet. Like, one of our kicker here, Corey Munson, his name is a bit of a he's a bit of a adrenaline junkie, if you can say. And I'm like, mate, we've got to go jump on an alligator. He's like, you what? I'm like, come on, let's go jump on one. He's like, I will not be going near it.
I think as well, outside of footy, you had a bit of a Twitch following there for a bit as well, didn't you? Is that keeping going?
Yeah, I play a bit of Call of Duty. Me and the few boys get on the game. I think my housemate, Joshy Stearns, so there's me and Joshy Stearns, Daywood Davis, who is our wide receiver, who is a very, very good receiver. Quickest man I've ever seen. And we get on Twitch all the time and the boys jump on and give you a bit of a hassle, but it's good fun. Keeps you busy. Yeah.
Absolutely. Is that Stearns? Stearns' brother made it to the NFL?
Yeah, Jarrett Stearns. Right? So yeah, his little brother, his younger brother Josh. He's my roommate. So Jarrett is at Tampa at the moment, and he's doing pretty well for himself. So I've heard. I think Chicken was saying he got to meet Tom Brady for the first time today. So it'd be interesting to see how that went.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I try to find this. Now I know on your Instagram a while ago, I think it was you were sort of doing some interviews. And I know you've probably got connections with a few players. Alex Rance is your cousin. Is that right?
Yeah. So he's my cousin.
So they seem like they've disappeared now. Is that something you were sort of getting into, doing like podcast interviews with the footy players? Or is it just sort of fun?
I sort of sitting back at COVID. And I live with Courtney Dempsey. So he's one of my closest friends. And his kids are my godkids, actually. So I was living with him at the time. And we're sitting back. And I'm like, mate. Well, actually, we had a few scotches by the fire. But we're sitting there. And I was like, you know what? Let's start doing something. I feel like I could do this. He's like, you got the right connections to do it. So one video into another and I'm like, we'll see what happens. And then I started getting messages from random people going, mate, we love what you're doing. Keep doing it. We love watching it. And can you do these people next? You know? And I'm like, I know them. I'll see if they're going to say yes. So I got Crispy on and then like, I'll get Alex on. And that was pretty hard to do because I was trying not to laugh. Obviously, you share some stories back and forth between each other. That was actually good fun. I enjoyed doing that. It was more to get people away from being stuck at home in COVID and the mental side of things, away from sport as well. So just so kids can understand what athletes go through. We're normal people, I guess. And everyone thinks that just because you're a high level athlete that everything's perfect in your world. And I think it was good to sit down with those guys and sort of explain and go through that it's not. And it's not what everyone thinks it is. So, yeah, that was good fun.
No, certainly as well, especially in those COVID times, it was good to have a bit of a distraction from everything that was going on, especially you guys in Melbourne. It was tough times, but looking like it's all getting on the clear side of it. I don't know if it's probably a lot cleaner over there. You probably don't even notice it in the US.
They don't care over here. No. And they're not too worried over here. I know. But so, like, 3 weeks before I was meant to leave, Mum and Dad got COVID. And I'm going... Like, I needed to be here. And I'm going, if I get COVID because of you guys and I miss my flight, I'm not going to be happy. So I kicked them out of their own apartment and made them go to a hotel. But I didn't end up catching it. I spent 3 days with them and I didn't get it. So I must be immune to it, hopefully. Touch wood.
Yeah, no, super immunity. I think a few of us think that we have got the immunity as well after spending a few times in some bars over the last couple of months in some of those dingy places. You pick up
the dungeon out the back of a beer gun.
No, well, look, I think this has been an awesome chat, Tommy. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. And as we sort of said, we can't wait to watch and see what you do on the stage. It's set to be a good season and we really can't wait to see what you can do.
No worries at all, guys. I appreciate that. And hopefully touch base when the season starts and go over a few more things because I think we're going to have a bit of an exciting season. I reckon we're going to roll a couple of big teams and hopefully go through that championship ring, which would be nice my first year.
Yeah, that's exciting. And for anyone, I suppose, listening, I suppose 28th, or I think it's 28th over here, first game against Austin Pace. So hopefully we can catch you punting some balls there.
Yeah, and then we got Hawaii. So that'll be quite interesting. We get to 9-hour flight. And then when we play, we got to fly straight back home. So there'll be a lot of sore bodies on that plane. But it's going to be a good year. And all my family back home, my uncle and auntie, who are just with my mum and dad, actually, I'll say hello to them because I know she'll listen. But they're all venturing over. So, it'll be a good year for us. Can't wait.
Perfect. Well done. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.